This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
And today, getting an update on county government, going to cover a few areas with Douglas County Commissioner Chris Boyce. Thanks for coming in.
Always glad to be here, Kyle. Thanks for having me.
So last week, ribbon cutting over at Winchester Bay. Talk about that and what work's been completed over there.
Yeah, so it was actually a culmination of two projects. And a few years ago in 2018, we bought kind of a hybrid mobile home slash RV park from a private sector operator and changed it into an 100% RV park and renamed it Umpqua Dunes. We made that purchase primarily with grant money and have since received several grants to rehab the facility. The South Loop rehab we did 2 years ago, and we just completed the North Loop rehab. So the ribbon cutting was a culmination of the completion of the North Loop rehab at Umpqua Dunes, but also the completion of what we call the commercial building. So when we purchased that park, there was a very small retail store slash office where you could go and buy a soda and maybe a candy bar, a few little things. And that building was derelict and needed to come out. And so this is a brand new commercial building that was constructed inside the park that's really going to change the riding experience for the ATV users in Douglas County. You now have the opportunity, because of this commercial building, to park your ATV, your tow vehicle, wherever you are, whether you're in Windy Cove A or B or Umpqua Dunes or Half Moon Bay or even the Dayu staging area, and you can drive your ATV into the store in the park and buy non-ethanol unleaded gasoline or get propane for your RV or firewood. There's a laundry room built in. There's a repair shop and a rental facility there in the store, so you can get small repairs, tires, chains, belts, whatever you need, and there's hot food available, plus groceries. And it's something that the ATV riders really want. They want the ability to stay in their ATV and drive and go get an ice cream cone or go fill up with gas.
So really adding some amenities without having to go miles down the road.
Yeah, not it's not just the distance that's the issue. It's, you know, having to unhook your tow vehicle from your trailer or tow your trailer and drive it back in, to get lunch or something like that. This is sort of changes the experience to where you can stay in your ATV, which mostly these days you see the side-by-sides, and drive right into the store and get what you want, and that's what people are looking for, and it's going to really change the game over there.
So how was all this paid for?
We use revenue that we generate from within the Parks Department, and we use grant funding. And we apply for several different sources of grants, but the main one is through the Oregon Parks and Recreation. And it's been awesome, actually. And the money that the Parks Department is completely off the general fund. As a matter of fact, the Parks Department contributes back into the general fund. But we've been able to invest in amenities that people are wanting to and willing to pay for within the Parks Department and leverage the revenue from those that are generated from those as matching funds for these grants to do these upgrades. And it's been great.
And that's really been a change from a few years back before you went to that model for that department.
Yeah, you know, when I became a commissioner, the Parks Department was completely dependent upon revenue from the general fund for the most part. They did have some pavilions and camp spaces and stuff throughout the system, but the revenue generated wasn't anywhere near enough to fund the department. So they were dependent upon general funds every year. We made a easy financial decision, but a politically difficult decision to implement day-use parking fees. And really, those day-use parking fees are what was sort of the seed money that we were able to use as matching funds to begin applying for these grants. So once we used that revenue as matching funds for these grants to purchase this RV park and make upgrades to others, the day-use fee ended up being unnecessary, and we took it away. And now we use the revenue generated from within the department as matching funds for these grants, and then the grant monies we use for the restoration or rehab projects. It's been great.
As I recall, at the time that this shift was going on, if you would have been having to pull money out of the county budget to be matching funds, that would have been hard to come by then.
It would have been very hard, and it would have continued, the downward spiral of the financial situation in the county. We were spending millions of dollars out of reserves at that point in time with limited money in reserves, so that would have been not sustainable. And what we have going in the Parks Department now is very sustainable. And if you look around, I mean, there's been a heavy emphasis at the coast, but there's also been significant improvements all over the Parks Department, including, new restroom facilities out of River Forks, significant improvements at Whistler's Bend, new restroom facilities at Windy Cove A&B. Right now, we're going through the engineering stage and planning stage of a complete renovation of Stanton Park down at Canyonville, which is much needed. It's very outdated. It's going to be very, very nice when we're done. So significant improvement in the Parks Department. It's really exciting.
So for the Winchester Bay area, what benefits do you think that investment is going to reap?
Well, the coastal area is, transitioning into very tourism-based economy, and Winchester Bay is really one of the best-kept secrets on the Oregon coast. So many people drive right by Winchester Bay on 101 and really don't know that it's even there. And they see a few little businesses there along the highway, but not a lot of folks bother to turn left and drive all the way back in there around the harbor and to see what the entirety of it is. And we've actually hired a coastal events coordinator whose job it is to help fix that problem. And it's going to make a big difference, but it drives the local economy over there. It really does.
Now, do you see other projects coming to that area?
We do, yeah. We've got a whole bunch, matter of fact. One of the things that's holding us back right now, though, is the water line that goes out to Winchester Bay is in significant need of an upgrade. So there isn't much more we can do as far as new facilities because of water. But once we get that water line put in, which I think that is scheduled for this fall, we worked on a project with the City of Reedsport to help make that happen ahead of our Federal Lands Access Grant Program project, which is a realignment of the ATV trail going out to the dunes and Salmon Harbor Drive. We want to replace that water line before we dig that road up. Anyway, once that's done, we'll be able to convert the dry camping area of Half Moon Bay into a full hookup facility. And then we have some expansion plans and some pretty big projects that we're looking at doing up around the lighthouse. It's going to be too early to talk about yet, but pretty significant improvement to the lighthouse situation over there.
It seems like in the past few years, particularly coming through and out of a pandemic, that interest in these type of outdoor activities that these facilities are, a part of has really increased, not just here, but really all over the country.
Sure. During the pandemic, folks were looking for outdoor recreation opportunities because that's all essentially there was to do. So we were pretty resilient through the pandemic because, of being outdoors. But now that the pandemic essentially is over, folks certainly have a lot of pent-up energy and they want to get back out and doing these things. And this weekend we were at 100% occupancy over at the coast. Every single space we had was full, and the facilities have been upgraded and are nice, and people are really enjoying it over there.
Well, and I didn't hear the post stats, but I know going into the weekend nationwide, a lot of experts were talking about the biggest Memorial Day travel weekend in something like 15 years plus.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. When we found out ahead of the weekend that we were literally at 100% capacity, that's pretty rare. Usually you have a few spots cancel or whatever, and but we didn't have a single spot available.
Now, while people are over there, one thing that's been around there for decades is that lighthouse. Talk about that.
The lighthouse is amazing because it's fairly unique, and what the folks on our staff have done at the lighthouse, in my opinion, is even more more amazing. So the history of the lighthouse, the main thing is the Fresnel lens, which if you get a chance to see that and understand how it works, it's amazing. The lighthouse light is actually fixed. And the lens is cylinder shaped, and it sits on a chassis with wheels, and it has a motor, and the lens spins around the light that's mounted in the center. And that's what changes the color of the light from red to white and causes those beams to move that you see in the nighttime over there. It's amazing. But more amazing than that is our staff and the limited staff that we have, because what they did was they turned an old Parks Department garage where they kept equipment, which is the building adjacent to the lighthouse that we call the boathouse. They turned that into a magnificent gift shop and little cafe, all on their own. It's amazing. It's beautiful. The food there is outstanding. And now you can go to the lighthouse and sit down and have a bowl of the best clam chowder on the coast. And it's just, they created a great opportunity there.
All right, more when we come back. Douglas County Commissioner Chris Boyce, interview a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1247 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Douglas County, 1249. Lars Larson coming up at 1 o'clock. David Littlejohn and True Wealth this afternoon at 4. On tomorrow's program, we're going to talk about the residency program with Viva Health and some of the other providers. We're going to talk with a couple of the doctors that have gone through that project on tomorrow's program. Douglas County Commissioner Chris Boyce in with us now, shifting the focus in this segment to talk about the budget, the all-exciting world of finances for the upcoming fiscal year. I know the budget gets formally approved late in June, goes into effect at the start of July. When you look at it, how does it compare with the fiscal year that's about ready to wrap up?
So we have a few more full-time equivalent employees budgeted for this coming year than we did last year, but overall budget dollars, spending, and revenues down about $10 million. That really is going to amount to no significant change in services. I mean, people are going to still have access to the same services that they've had. The amount of that was really the focus, was to retain the current level of services and not cut anything that the public would be aware of. And we really didn't cut anything. So it's business as usual for Douglas County.
And what about the federal timber funds? Kind of let people know where things stand there.
So we're in the middle of, this is really Commissioner Freeman's bailiwick, and he worked harder on it than anybody, I think, as the president of the Association of ONC Counties. But the ONC Counties have made a significant headway in that department, in the fact that they won a federal lawsuit against the BLM for their a resource management plan that they came out with in, I think it was 2016, or I don't remember what the latest iteration is. But my understanding right now is that the judge that ruled on that case has ordered the BLM to rewrite that management plan, and he's supervising that effort. It's supposed to be a big win for the timber counties, but I think it's going to take a few years to implement. And it's something that we've been fighting for a very long time, so potentially a pretty big win for the counties and their financial security moving forward.
What about other funding sources the county has? Because I think sometimes people don't quite understand that picture.
Yeah, here's what I can tell you, Kyle. It's not very many people understand it at all. The number of funding sources that go into the budget for the county is nearly unlimited. But here's what I would... Here's the message that I would deliver. So Douglas County's primary revenue source, when you hear folks talk about paying their taxes, is property taxes. Douglas County's property taxes are $1.11 per $1,000 of property value. That's the eighth lowest county in the state. And our total revenue for property taxes this year is going to be around $11 million. So $11 million, and I think the total budget number this year is somewhere around $210 million. So when you think about being a taxpayer and you pay your property taxes and you think that those property taxes should provide you all of those services, I want you to be aware that the property taxes really don't pay for much. And to be quite honest, what we receive from our county government as citizens of Douglas County for what we pay in property taxes is pretty exceptional. So for a $300,000 house, your property taxes are going to run you $333 a year. And for that, you get parks, solid waste system, which you have to pay for, sheriff's deputies, dispatch, prosecution services, seniors and veteran services, then the list goes on and on and on. You know, roads to drive on, blah, blah, blah.
And a lot of the other money that comes in is designated to certain areas, and you don't really have the leeway to move things around.
Sure. And some of the, you know, money that the county receives in lieu of timber receipts, the SRS money is unrestricted and goes in the general fund, but a lot of it isn't. And then most everything else comes to us for a specific purpose. And the money is, you know, comes from the state of Oregon for economic development money from lottery funds, or it comes from the state of Oregon from the cigarette and alcohol taxes and has to be spent on prevention and treatment for those sin taxes, we call them. And so we get a ton of different revenue streams that come in, and most of them have strings attached saying that you have to spend the money this way or that way.
What about road projects? There's some things going on now that you're doing with along with the Oregon Department of Transportation, but moving forward into the next fiscal year, are there other projects that haven't started yet?
So there are, and we're always working on road projects. There's the key thing for us right now is bridges. So the county owns 300 bridges. They're built with about a 50-year lifespan, which technically means that we need to replace about six a year. And for a long time, we were replacing one or less a year. So we have a significantly aging infrastructure as far as bridges go. You've seen a lot of that work happening in the last few years. We got one big important one going right now out on Garden Valley. Or Melrose Road with the Conford Bridge and also the Oakland Bridge going at the same time, and there's been a few others. So bridges are going to be a big thing. Another one is we're working diligently to get funds from the Safe Routes to Schools program, and we've had a couple successful projects completed with that, and we'll have more forthcoming. One was the sidewalks in Canyonville, and the other one that's significant that folks from Green are aware of was the Carnes Road rehab. With the sidewalks that are added down there in Carnes Road. Those are both Safe Routes to Schools grants that we were successful in getting. We've got more of those slated for the future also.
Talk about some of the county industrial development land. Where do things stand there? And is there still potential to get some companies to occupy some of that?
We have a lot of stuff happening with industrial lands. You know, when I became a commissioner, we had industrial lands that had fairly stagnant activity for a lot of years. We had some big projects before I got here, like Ingram Books, for example, and Winco down there in exit 103 is in the South Umpqua Valley Industrial Park. But we've sold several acres of property in the South Umpqua Valley Industrial Park, and we have a company that's given me a handshake agreement that I want to buy the entirety of the rest of the South Umpqua Valley Industrial Park. There's development happening down there right now with a new Lauren Young Tire Center that's going in there. And there's been some other projects that are beginning. We had a traffic signal that we had to complete down there before those projects could really get underway, and that's been done. We have sold 8 acres of the Sutherland Industrial Park, and we have a company right now who's interested in another 25 acres there. So lots of stuff happening. It's going to mean some new jobs. It's going to more importantly mean getting those stagnant industrial parks out of county ownership and back onto the tax rolls and developed and doing something productive. It's exciting.
Anything big planned wise in terms of county government over the summer?
Well, summertime is always really, really busy for us. You know, the campgrounds are busy. The construction season's going. We have an emergency management project that Commissioner Freeman's spearheading right now that's going to be great. You know, we talk about, as commissioners, once-in-a-lifetime emergencies. And I've been a commissioner now. This is my ninth year. I've dealt with four of those. It's made it very apparent that planning for the next one is paramount. So we've learned some valuable lessons from our experiences in those tragedies, and we're going to be better prepared for whatever comes our way now moving forward, and we're excited for the public to see what we're going to do there, because that's something that'll be advantageous to everyone should we need it.
All right, Douglas County Commissioner Chris Boyce, thanks for coming in.
Hey, very welcome, Kyle. Again, thanks for having me.
1258 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.